And so I think that has really driven the growth in telemedicine. Some of the studies we've looked at say that there's been a 143% increase. I think it's much more than that.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
With the country opening up more and more week after week, I thought it'd be interesting to speak to Company Nurses CTO, Henry Svendblad. I was reading up on the company's COVID-19 digital screening tool, Screen, that allows students and staff to conduct COVID screenings via any device with an internet browser before entering school buildings to help fight the spread of COVID. And it seemed really interesting and very of the moment. I talked to Henry today about Screen, why company nurses' offerings are especially relevant to the moment we're in, and what the future of workers' comp looks like in general, especially given the potential long-term rise in remote work. So let's jump right in.
So Henry, welcome to Future Proof.
Thanks for having me on, Jeremy. Nice to meet
you. Yeah, same. I wanted to ask you, who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis, in your own words?
That's an interesting question. I'm Henry Svendblad, but I'll go a little bit further than that. So I'm a chief technology officer for Company Nurse. I am passionate about technology and creating amazing customer journeys and employee journeys using technology. I've been doing this for over 25 years, mostly in healthcare technology. And really excited about sharing more. I'll share a few more of my passions. Obviously, unfortunately, you're not seeing my camera, but I'm a ex-professional mountain biker and avid cyclist, and live in Scottsdale, Arizona, with my wife Josephine and two cats.
So I wanted to ask you, because I know that Company Nurse is doing interesting things around COVID-19 screenings, because that's still a thing. Even at the time when we broadcast this episode, it's going to be with us, obviously. I'm curious, why will COVID-19 screening need to be a long-term tool for businesses and not something that they can look at in the rearview mirror really anytime soon?
Yeah, so interesting question. I can tell you that certainly our hope and actually our projection was that by now, businesses would no longer be needing to do COVID-19 screening. Obviously, this pandemic has stretched on far longer than any of us had expected or hoped. So we have shifted our focus for our screening tool, which we call Screen by Company Nurse. We're just now coming out with a revision, which will make it front door by company nurse. And the reason for that is we think that the workplace has been changed forever by COVID. There are certain things that have really changed the mindset of Americans and of businesses, where they are much more focused on the health and safety of their employees. We think that it is no longer acceptable, and we certainly aren't the only ones that think this. We think it is no longer acceptable for somebody to show up to work sick. It used to be you're sick, you show up to work, sniffling, sneezing all over the place. That's no longer acceptable because of COVID. Maybe it becomes acceptable someday. But the way we're thinking about this screening is that some organizations, especially now that there seems to be a labor shortage, are going to want to keep very close tabs on the health and the safety of their employees. And so imagine an employee that doesn't show up that's scheduled for a shift today. We have a few coffee shops that we work with. And the plan is to integrate with their scheduling system so that a text message will go out to that individual to ask them how they're feeling. First, did you know you were scheduled today? Oftentimes, there's a communication issue, right? The manager put them on the schedule. They didn't know they were on the schedule. Are you scheduled to work today? Sorry, I didn't know. Or yes, I am, but I'm not feeling well. And then immediately serve that employee up with all of the different benefits that are available to them to get healthy and get back to work. So we think that is something that's going to continue, and we're putting all of our energy behind that front door solution.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think that maybe it will be acceptable someday again to just show up with a little cold. And I know there are people who've wanted to go into offices or even restaurants with a little bit of a cold or a slight fever or whatever, and they're not able to now, and they get frustrated by that. But it seems to me like this might be a unintended positive consequence of COVID, which is maybe we'll get rid of the fact that people show up sick, even not with COVID, to work. And then as a result, you've got a lot of other people who wind up being out for a few days just because somebody was encouraged to come in sick.
Exactly. So there's that. And then there's also the fact that companies are encouraging their employees to remain remote. Obviously, not every business, schools in particular, don't have that option quite as easily. I think the benefits of in-person learning over remote learning are obvious. When you have your employees more distributed, the risks are localized, and it's also harder to communicate with them in terms of what are the benefits that are available to them and how do I get access to them. If they decided that they're going to move to the East Coast because their family is there and they need to visit a doctor, well, their HR department in California may not be available to answer those questions. So our idea is to put a health companion next to every employee so that if they need access to their health benefits card, or if they got injured at work and they need to report a workplace injury, which is what we've been doing for 24 years, they have an easy way to do
that. Which is great. I think that's obviously a step forward if society can, you know, operate a little bit more logically in that way. Why is it so important that I think schools in particular have greater control over their health security? I noticed that a little bit in some of the way that you talk about what you have to offer, especially around COVID-19 screenings, so what that means and why that's important.
I think COVID is the perfect example of something that was a risk that came from, you know, seemingly nowhere, obviously from China, but it really has changed our perspective on work. It's changed our perspective on going out. It's changed our perspective on participating in big concerts. I know I miss them, and I can't wait to get back to that. Our focus is on putting the right tools at the hands of these employees or students so that they can maintain that health and security on a consistent basis. And again, I think it's because of COVID that employers are now, whether you're a school, whether you're a biotech company, you're really focused on maintaining that health and security. And some of it also has to do with liability. One of the things that's probably not in the mainstream media, but most states now have compensability laws, which basically say, if you got COVID, it is presumed that COVID infection happened at work. And so that creates liability for employers. It creates risks that need to be managed. And so we think that by having a comprehensive plan, which includes a digital companion, that organizations can show that they're going beyond just the basics to protect the health and safety of their employees. And we think that employees are going to start to make employment decisions about where they want to work based on how seriously their employer treats these health and safety issues.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting angle. And then again, we've singled COVID out because it's a unique circumstance, but it gets me thinking about in the future, will there be additional liability for just exposing people to other things by encouraging people to, you know, come into work sick on an ongoing basis.
There are a lot of people in our industry, in workers' compensation and insurance, that are worried about exactly those things, right? How far is the market and the government going to go, not only in the U.S., but elsewhere, in terms of assigning these, not only health, just like physical health from COVID or something like COVID, but also mental health. And one of the things that we have been alerted to, in fact, I was just listening to a webinar that we had today about risk intelligence, and it seems that there's quite an uptick in mental health issues. And so we want to provide not only the physical general health benefits to employees, but we also want to make sure that they have access to that EAP, Employee Assistance Program, that most organizations have. But I would bet that the majority of employees don't know where to start other than, hey, I'm going to call my HR department or email them as to how to get access to that EAP program. And it's certainly probably not there at the times that they need it most, which is usually when they're not at work.
It's funny that you mentioned mental health, because I was just thinking how difficult it must be, but yet important for a company like yours, a person like you, to be thinking beyond the current crisis that we're in. Because obviously, you find business opportunity there. You find some sense of how do you pivot in order to address something like COVID. But then I'm wondering, how do you look beyond a crisis like COVID to anticipate what the next crisis could be, if it's mental health or if it's something else entirely, obesity, or I don't even know what it might be. But how do you go about that process?
Sure. So I think it starts, you know, a lot of people use the word agility. I like to say nimbleness, right? So we have become, over the years, we've recognized the importance of being nimble and being able to scale and to have options. And so we have just That's in our DNA. So the reason that we were successful with this COVID solution wasn't because we're brilliant minds. We reach out to our customers and we are constantly asking, how can we help? And COVID taught us the importance and the value of that. It was because of our focus on our clients' needs. They came to us. We reached out very early on, about a year ago in March. We reached out to all of our clients because we work with a lot of schools. And as you can imagine, schools weren't in business. So we had some excess capacity, let's say, in our staff. We reached out for all the right reasons because we wanted to help. And one of our clients, a utility company, said, look, our employees are freaked out and they think they're getting exposed to other people because the lights have to stay on, the water has to keep flowing. And so they said, can we call you and have your nurses talk to our employees so that they feel more comfortable about whether or not they're exposed? And we thought, you know, it was a great idea. We gave them a killer rate. It was still very expensive for them. It wasn't a great user experience, but it was that spark that caused us to create this digital solution, which we've now perfected by releasing software every week. And on every software release, we're constantly asking our customers, did this meet the mark? What else can we do? And that's taken our product in a direction that our customers wanted to go, right? We're following their needs. So in terms of your question of how do we prepare, how do we look beyond the next crisis, I think companies need to always be checking in with their clients and with their employees, right? What are employees hearing from clients? What could make the employee experience better? What can make the customer experience better? And if you do that, I think you're in much better place to respond to the next crisis. I don't think any of us can predict that there's going to be a COVID-21 or a COVID-22, but at least if we leverage the same tools and the same process, we can be in a better place to respond to it. I think the way you look beyond something like COVID is you need to keep a very close pulse on both your employees, what they're hearing, what they're feeling, and your customers.
And how are company nurses offerings especially relevant to the moment that we're in? I'm thinking not just the fact that there's that health crisis, but I feel that people are a little bit, from a healthcare perspective, I don't know if it is healthcare insecure a word or just the fact that people have concerns. And it seems that what you're offering very nicely into the fabric of our society and what we need right now, no?
It does, absolutely. Yeah, I think before COVID, we had, I think, a harder time of convincing organizations that having a nurse available to them to help triage workplace injuries was a better option. And now, post-COVID, again, COVID, I think one of the people always talk about the relationship between COVID and digital transformation. And the thing that drove that wasn't necessarily COVID, but it was the change in mindset and perception from everyone, right? Americans. So now, I would prefer to call a doctor and do a telemed visit than to walk into a room with people that could potentially be sick with who knows what. It may not be COVID, but we now have that sense in our mind that, hey, somebody could give me something and it could have a significant impact, not just on my health where I can get a flu for 2 weeks, but I could be down with long COVID or I could get COVID or I could get something else. And so I think that has really driven the growth in telemedicine. Some of the studies we've looked at say that there's been a 143% increase. I think it's much more than that. There's been a huge increase in telemedicine. So our services that are performed in a virtual way remotely are more relevant. We're getting prepared to launch a new video solution for our contact center where injured workers will be able to opt in to a video experience so that the nurse can say, okay, tell me, show me how deep the cut is or show me how bad the burn is. And we think that is going to end up either reducing the amount of people that get seen by a doctor, but it's certainly a better experience in the end because we're not, you know, sometimes people exaggerate. People, a little paper cut feels like your finger fell off. And so that will certainly help.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to ask you broadly, what does the future of workers comp look like, especially if more and more workers, not all workers, obviously, but a lot of work cannot be done remotely, but especially if more and more knowledge workers and some other types of workers start to go remote. And I know there are a lot of companies that went remote this year, mine included, and they were able to function relatively well. And it helps me start to think about, but this is certainly an important area and an important service, but how does it get transformed by that remote work phenomenon that doesn't look like it's a short-term trend.
You're absolutely right. So that's one of the things that we think is driving the need for mobile companion, who we're calling our front door, because as an example, we can no longer rely on posters in break rooms as a way to communicate some of the state mandated or federally mandated requirements that need to be communicated to all employees. So it certainly drives the need up for a digital solution. What it's going to do to workers' comp, I think, and we've seen it over the last year, the amount and the value of claims is potentially or very likely going to go down. Now, if somebody gets injured in their work office, tripping over something in their home office, that's still considered a workplace incident. And about 3% of all American workers have a workplace injury incident every year. Whether or not that percentage goes down because they're more knowledge workers, I'm not sure. But I think the amount of claims are definitely going to be lower, and we saw that last year. So that's one change. The other change that's happening is that diseases like, as I mentioned, like COVID-19 are considered compensable. And so there are some debates or discussions that are happening about how far will governments go in terms of saying, okay, now the flu is something that you get at work, right? And you have to compensate people for being out on the flu. That I don't know that's going to happen, but there's certainly some of those concerns that are out there.
Follow-up about that is, and this might be stupid, okay, I'm throwing it out there, but if I get the flu and remote working for a company, could that potentially be, because the company didn't make me move or go anywhere physically that then caused me to get the flu. Does that wind up mattering? Or is that kind of something that will have to be determined in the next X number of years?
For yourself as a remote worker, if you get the flu, I think that claim would certainly be thrown out. But the question is, if you're working at a Whole Foods as a cashier and you get the flu, how did you get the flu, right? Before, it was assumed that the flu, it wasn't compensable. You were out of work. And if you didn't have vacation time, you're not paid. And I think that has caused people, we hear stories, I certainly heard the stories here in Arizona where we had a security guard for a casino that knew he had COVID, but he was also diabetic. And he showed up to work with COVID because that was the only way for him to continue to be on his diabetes medication. And so I think those types of scenarios, I think, will drive some change, what that change looks like.
And I think that is, frankly, that's admirable, the fact that you can actually say you're not sure, or here's what's going to be down the pike, because I think a lot of people will make a bold prediction when there's just too many unknowns in terms of predicting where things are going to net out. Yeah. This is great. I'm really glad we had the chance to talk about it. I think it's an important topic, and it's probably something a lot of people are not really thinking enough about. Yeah, thank you so much for making the time. This was great.
Thank you, Jeremy. Really appreciate the opportunity to participate, and I look forward to hearing it.
Thanks again to Henry for making the time. I got to be honest, this is an area where I was not that educated, so it's always great to talk to somebody who truly knows what they're talking about. If you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.